There's no doubt we're in the information age, but how much of it is misinformation? Kirby Anderson reveals this distortion of truth now on Probe.
You know, many of us feel as if we're swimming in a sea of information. From broadcast media to cell phones to ubiquitous internet access, we are assailed with more information than we can possibly assimilate. Now, from advertising to news to entertainment, most of the information we encounter is intended to reshape our current view of reality. This reshaping may be good or bad depending on the validity and implications of the revised view. Now, one response to this deluge of information is to despair of ever discerning truth. After all, what standard can I use to compare competing truth claims? If one medical doctor promotes eating fish daily, and another doctor says that the mercury levels may make it dangerous, how can I discern the truth? In fact, I may be tempted to retreat into a postmodern perspective, creating my own personal relative truth that works for me while affirming that others may need to create different relative truth that's better for them. However, as a Christian, I know that there is absolute truth. I may not have full awareness of truth, but it exists independent of my level of understanding. Absolute truth is reality as seen from God's perspective, expressed in the person of Jesus Christ and recorded in the Bible. From the Bible, I can find that I am not to be tossed about by all this competing information, but rather I am to know the truth and to speak it in love. So this week we will examine a biblical perspective of the battle between truth and deceit and begin to learn how the battle is being played out in this age of misinformation. You know, some people suggest that truth is of secondary importance in the work of Christ. According to this view, we should focus on grace and relationship and not be concerned if people profess faith in a Jesus that is not consistent with the biblical record. On the contrary, though, the Bible is clear that grace and truth are both indispensable parts of the gospel. The Bible clearly teaches that, number one, knowing the truth is what God desires for all people. Number two, proclaiming the truth is central to Jesus' purpose on earth. And number three, that Jesus is the source of both grace and truth. So when we receive Jesus, we are accepting God's grace for us and enthroning Jesus as our source of truth. So this week we'll be looking at this issue of misinformation, and tomorrow we'll look at the challenges we face in discerning truth in this fallen world.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. Discover how truth is distorted and download Steve Cable's transcript on misinformation. Go to probe.org. Again, that's probe.org. And join us next time here on Probe.
As Christians, we're called to walk in and to speak the truth. Now, this is a challenging calling because of the war between good and evil is really a conflict between truth and deception. As we strive to walk in the truth, we will find ourselves assailed with deception, misinformation, and partial truths. Deception is at the heart of most problems. The Bible, in fact, gives us three reasons why exposing deception is central to our Christian walk. Number one, deception is central to Satan's plan to destroy us. Jesus tells us that Satan does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan began by deceiving Eve, and his campaign of deception remains the centerpiece of his strategy. He is the ultimate con man, selling a perverted view of reality. Number two, deception is central to man's separation from God. As Romans 1 states, "For they exchange the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator." When we accept Satan's lies, we begin a life of self-deception, buying the illusion that we can truly live apart from our Creator. Third, deception is central to man's efforts to exploit you. 2 Peter 2 warns us, because of false teachers, the way of the truth will be maligned, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. By convincing us to buy into a false truth, exploiters can actually manipulate us into doing what they want us to do rather than what God has called us to do. Now, while we live on this earth, God knows that we are going to have to deal with deception every day. He commanded us to be on guard so that we can walk in the truth. In Colossians 2:8, we read, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." In there, we see that God gives us this warning because, sadly, many Christians live with their minds captive to a world system that is actually based upon empty deception. Although these believers have an eternal inheritance, they are largely ineffective in bearing fruit for Christ. We are commanded to take positive action to see that this does not happen to us and to tear down the walls of deception that hold others captive. Tomorrow we'll look at how to detect deception in news reports and other media. As discussed yesterday, Satan's world system is out to con us. Consequently, it is not surprising that the information sources touting themselves as unbiased are oftentimes sources of misinformation. We should approach these sources with caution to avoid being taken captive by a distorted worldview. Let's focus on a major source of information, that is the news media. While we need a free press to provide news and commentary without fear of retribution, the press can also wield a dangerous amount of power when left unbalanced. As Mark Twain quipped, "There are laws to protect the freedom of press's speech, but none that are worth anything to protect the people from the press." In America, poll results have found that the vast majority of journalists are secular and liberal. Multiple studies have shown this imbalance results in news reports that are biased. One detailed study concluded, quote, "Our results show a strong liberal bias. Most outlets receive scores to the left of the average member of Congress. CBS Evening News and the New York Times receive scores far to the left of center." Unquote. The deceptive nature of reporting is not new. Writing about the period around the First World War, C.S. Lewis stated, "I think those are very wrong who say that schoolboys should be encouraged to read newspapers. Nearly all that a boy reads there will be known before he is 20 to have been false in emphasis and interpretation, if not in fact as well." So let's consider four methods through which hidden bias is expressed in news reports. The first method is setting the agenda, meaning that the news establishment determines what information is highlighted. One area we see this in is in the coverage of so-called hate crimes, which may actually vary dependent upon the disadvantaged group represented by the victim. Although hard to detect since it is based upon the absence of information, the recent growth of alternative news sources makes detecting this method of bias easier. Second, slanting the information is a method used to influence the way people interpret a news story. Examples of this are the wording of headlines, the labels and definitions used by different groups, and selecting one-sided experts. For example, an August newspaper article covered reports showing record economic growth and outstanding performance. One might expect a headline stating something like economic news encouraging in all areas. Instead, the actual headline stated economic news isn't helping. Tomorrow, we'll look at two other ways in which hidden bias is expressed in news reports. Yesterday, we looked at methods used to insert bias into news reports. We talked about setting the agenda and slanting the information. A third common method we call skewering the facts. It is selectively emphasizing the information that supports the journalist's point of view while discounting or ignoring facts that run counter. It also includes drawing illogical or unsubstantiated conclusions. Statistics are a particularly useful tool in skewering facts. One example dealt with the topic of developing more sources of oil. One stated, "We only have 3-4% of the world's oil reserves, and we use 25% of the world's oil, which means we can't drill our way out of the problem." Now, this statement implies that because 25 is bigger than the number 4, it is obvious that our oil reserves cannot help us. However, percentages are not absolute numbers. Would you rather have 4% of Bill Gates' net worth or 25% of what he spent on lunch today? In fact, comparing the size of our reserves and our consumption, it appears that North America's known recoverable reserves could provide meaningful energy independence for decades. More complex examples of skewed statistics are often found in reporting on public health issues, sex education, and climate change. I encourage you to check out this program on our website for a list of other articles which have detailed examples of how statistics can be skewered to support incorrect conclusions. Skewering the truth is a fourth method where falsehoods are presented as truth and or biased conclusions are represented by established facts. One technique used to mask these misstatements of fact is to attribute them to unidentified experts or couch them as general common knowledge. For example, a recent Newsweek cover story on homosexual marriage cited liberal interpretations of isolated scriptural passages to support the following conclusion. Quote, "Religious objections to gay marriage are rooted not in the the Bible at all, but in custom and tradition, unquote. But for those of us who are students of the Bible, the statement is clearly false, but it is stated as undisputable fact. In another example, an article entitled Dissing Darwin claims that there is a direct correlation between a state's education standards for teaching evolution and the performance of its students in science. However, when we examine the data, we can see that the actual correlation was exactly the opposite. Tomorrow we'll look at some ways to help us see through the bias and find the truth. If we're not to be taken captive by the philosophies of a godless world, we must be on the lookout for biased and agenda-driven reporting. The social and spiritual changes over the last 50 years show how a lack of awareness and concern have contributed to cultural views on morality and religion that are frankly counter to a biblical worldview. How can we expose deception and proclaim truth into a world filled with misinformation? Well, the first step is to study the Bible and allow the Holy Spirit to bring discernment. As the letter to the Hebrews tells us, quote, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart," unquote. Approach news reports by asking God for wisdom in recognizing and applying truth. Ask some tough questions about the articles or news reports. Number one, does it begin with accurate facts? Number two, does it consider all important evidence? Number three, does the conclusion make sense apart from the argument? And number four, if it is false, is it important enough to refute? Now, the answers to these questions give a pretty good idea of whether to be concerned. If so, the next step is to do some digging to see if any of the four methods we identified for bias reporting have been employed. Oftentimes, the internet may even be used to access the source material that has been referenced by the journalist. However, in many cases, the best way to check up on questionable reporting is to consult a trusted resource. Organizations like Probe Ministries have often done research on many of these important topics. Now, once you've done your research, go back to the Bible. God has the only perspective that cannot be deceived by the schemes of the world. Compare your conclusions with Scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you into truth. When the facts are not clear, you will not go wrong by being biased in favor of a biblical worldview. Now, if you have done some research that others would benefit from, you may want to look for a venue to share it with a broader audience. Don't let others you know be deceived. One approach would be to contact us at Probe Ministries to see if there is a topic we should address in our website. This week we've tried to focus on the subject of misinformation, and I think it's important to remember that deception will cause difficulties in our lives, but truth will always be true, and we'll overcome deception in the end.